Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that this morning as we come to worship Thee, Lord, that You'd still our hearts in Thy presence. Help us, O God, truly to worship Thee in spirit and in truth today. Lord, we pray to pour out Your Spirit upon us just now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We're going to commence our service this morning by singing the words of hymn number 50, page 196 in your hymn book. The words will be on the screen as well. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Hymn number 50, we'll stand as we sing this opening praise, please. Let's stand and sing. Again, please, in prayer, we seek His face and ask for His help as we come to worship Him this morning. Let's all pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we come again into Thy presence just now. And Lord, we thank Thee for the One who is faithful. We thank Thee, O God, today that we can say, great is Thy faithfulness. Lord, as we look back over these past number of months and this past year already, we thank Thee, O God, for One who has been faithful. Lord, while we have often failed Thee, Lord, while we have often let Thee down, yet, O God, we thank Thee that You have remained faithful. We praise Thee, O God, today for the meeting of all of our needs. Lord, at this harvest season, we come to thank Thee for meeting our physical and temporal needs. We thank Thee, Lord, for the material harvest that has been gathered in once again. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee for every good and every perfect gift, Lord, that has come down from the Father of lights. And Lord, we look to thee today and we ask, O God, that you would be pleased to take up our thanks, Lord, for your bountiful provision toward us. We thank the Lord today that you've met every need, Lord, of our hearts. But O God, most of all, we thank thee today for meeting our need in salvation. We thank you, Lord, for sending thy Son into this world to be our Savior, for him going to that old rugged cross and there dying for us, Lord, making that atonement for our sin that we might be saved. We thank you, O God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, today for the Son of God. We praise you, O God, for the one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us. And, O Heavenly Father, we thank thee that through him we have access to thee. We thank you, Lord, for each one in this meeting today who's saved. We praise thee, O God, for that moment in our life's experience when by faith we trusted thee. Lord, when we called upon thee, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the grace, Lord, to leave our sin and to call upon thee in salvation. And Lord, we thank thee for not only saving us, but Lord, for keeping us right until this very moment. We thank thee, Lord, for your constant, your daily provision of all of our needs, watching over us, protecting us, preserving us. Lord, we thank thee for everything that we have in Christ. And truly, today we can say that we are blessed, Lord, with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that as we come to this service, this harvest, Thanksgiving service today, Lord, that you would be pleased to offer even, take the sacrifice of our lips, Lord, even as we would offer them to thee just now. And Father, we pray you'll bless in this gathering just now. We ask, O God, you'll bless every head bowed in thy presence. We thank the Lord for being with us today. We thank the Lord for the health and the strength you've given to us. We thank the Lord for journeying mercies to the house of the Lord this morning. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might, Lord, truly know what it is to worship our God today. Remove every distracting thought. Lord, the thoughts of the week that is past. Lord, the thoughts for the week, Lord, that is yet to come. We pray, Lord, you'll bring every thought into captivity. And Heavenly Father, that for this time, Lord, we'll be taken up with the Lord. Our Father, we pray you'll bless those who'll take part this morning. Bless Joseph and Sandra, Lord. We thank thee again for them. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to help them this morning as they would minister to us in song. Be unto them all that they would need. We pray, Lord, you'll bless them in their own lives. Bless them in their ministry there in Ballybean. We thank the Lord for what you're doing through them. We thank the Lord for the souls that have been saved. And Heavenly Father, we just cry unto thee for greater things. We cry unto thee today for this east part of the city of Belfast. O Lord, come. Lord, in revival power. Lord, drive back the forces of hell. And Heavenly Father, we pray you'll raise up that standard for truth and for righteousness, Lord, that many will call upon our Savior. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless thy servant, Lord, the Reverend Foster, as he would come and open the scriptures of truth to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that he will know the enabling power of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray you'll fill him with power from on high. Lord, may he know great help. Stand with him, O God, we pray, in this pulpit. O God, we pray that you'll be on him all that he would need. Lord, touch his lips with that live coal from off the altar today. And Heavenly Father, we pray that there will be that word in season to every waiting heart. O God, we pray that we'll not only hear the word, but Lord, that we will do the word as well. Bless throughout this harvest weekend. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll remember the meeting tonight, remember the meeting tomorrow night as well. We just look to thee. Come, O God, give the increase we ask of thee. And Lord, we pray you'll bring in people, Lord, from this area and under the sound of the preaching of the word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for the joy, the privilege that is ours to come into thy presence. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might rejoice, O God, in all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the going forth of thy word across our land and across our nation. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, for that sound of abundance of rain. We pray, Lord, that we might hear, Lord, and see of signs following the preaching of the glorious gospel. Come, O God, we pray. Remember our nation at this time. Turn us, O God, we pray. Cause thy face to shine upon us once again. And Lord, we pray that we might have cause to rejoice in all that the Lord is doing for us. Remember, Lord, across, Lord, every nation of this world, Lord, where thy people are meeting today in a fashion such as this. Encourage the Church of Jesus Christ, we pray. Take us forward, O God, we ask of thee. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today that this is thy church. We are thy people. And Lord, you've said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Build the Church of Jesus Christ, we ask of thee. We pray, Lord, you'll be pleased to bless, Lord, the missionaries today. Remember, Lord, those who are serving thee away from home, away from family. Lord, be with them today, and Lord, bless them. And may they see, Lord, much fruit for their labor as well. Remember the persecuted church. Lord, remember, Lord, those today who do not have the privileges as we have to meet in a public fashion such as this. Lord, those who are meeting in secret. Lord, those who are, have been imprisoned for their faith. Oh God, we pray that you'll strengthen them, stand with them, and overthrow, Lord, the powers of evil and wicked men against the church of Christ, we pray. We ask, oh God, that you'll remember the in the land of Israel at this time. We ask, oh God, that you'll stem the violence. Oh God, we pray that you'll bring peace. But oh God, most of all, the peace of God will flood that place, Lord, that Jew and Gentile, Lord, will be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank thee today that we come to the one who is sovereign. We come, O God, today to the one who is over all, far above all. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today you'll come and show thyself strong on the behalf of thy people just now. Hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. Help us, O God, we pray. In the Savior's name, we pray all of these things and praise, honor, and glory alone we ask. Amen. Amen. We're delighted this morning to welcome back to Sandown, Joseph and Sandra. We appreciate them coming and looking forward to their ministry and song. As you know, Joseph and Sandra working over in Ballybean, and we pray the Lord will continue to bless you both as you seek to serve the Lord. We rejoice in what the Lord's doing there. May the Lord continue to do great things. Thank you for being with us today, and I ask you to come and sing for us now. Lord bless you.
I can hear a distant cry shouting out, the time is nigh, as the Father tells his Son, work on earth this day. Sun go bright.
Delighted to be with you this morning in Sandown, and it's a wonderful thing to be involved in the great harvest field of the Lord, and the harvest is rich and it's great, and we're just praying the Lord He'd bring many souls into the kingdom during this time of harvest season.
Joseph and Sandra, thank you so much for your ministry and song this morning, and thank God today that the little that we seem to do for the Lord, it's important to Him, and if God's in it, then it is great, and may the Lord be pleased to ever write those truths upon our hearts. Thank you so much for your ministry and song. Pray the Lord bless you, and we'll hear from you in just a little moment's time. Can I just at this stage welcome you all along this morning to the first of our harvest services this weekend. We're delighted to see you. And we welcome you warmly in the Saviour's name. To any who may be visiting with us, we welcome you as well today. And we trust that you feel at home with us here in Sandown. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you this morning. Very quickly, can I go through these announcements as quick as I can? We have today is Missionary Council, a retiring offering, so please do remember that, the box there in the hallway as you leave. Then we have our Outreach Sunday School this afternoon in Redburn Community Centre, 2:30. Our harvest services continue this evening at 6:30, and we would invite you and long to see you back again tonight for the harvest service tonight. Our brother, Mr. John Weir, will be here to bring the Word of God, and Jonathan Mitchell will be singing. There will be harvest supper for you all, so you wouldn't want to miss any of that tonight. And there'll be apple pies and apple tarts and whatever else there is. You will enjoy it. At least I hope there is. Maybe there's not. I don't know. Do remember that meeting tonight. Plan to be with us, and why not invite someone along this evening? Get on the phone this afternoon and ask someone along to the meeting tonight. Do remember the prayer time as well before that at 6 p.m. Then there, for young people, there's a youth rally over in Ballygowan this evening at 8:45. Then we have the final harvest service tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and our brother John Weir will be back to speak for us, and Peter and Philip will be here, God willing, to sing tomorrow evening. So again, we invite you back, make every effort to come back again, not only tonight, but tomorrow night for the final harvest service at 8 o'clock. We'd love to see you. Then throughout the week, we have our Explorers Club meeting here in church on Tuesday evening at 6:30. Our prayer meeting will be on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock as well, and God willing, we'll continue our studies in John 17. Friday night, our youth fellowship will meet here in the church. And then on Saturday night for young people, we've been asked to announce on behalf of the Youth Council a number of events. First of all, there's outreach on Saturday at the Northern Ireland International Match this Saturday coming, and you're asked to meet at Tyndale Memorial Church there in Donegal Avenue or at 12:30 on Saturday afternoon. And then also on Saturday night for young people, there's a youth Bible study, and that's in our Lisburn Church at 7:30, and all of our young people are invited to that. Do remember the meetings then next Lord's Day in the Will of the Lord Sunday School and Bible class at 10:15. Can I just say that in our Sunday School at the moment, the children are sponsoring a child in Uganda, and so parents, if you can remember, if you can, to send some money, some change along with your children each Sunday for the wee offering that they're having as they seek to sponsor a child in Uganda. Then 11:30, our morning worship service. Our brother, Mr. David Warwick, will be here to speak and also to sing. I'll be in Enniskillen next Sunday speaking at a harvest service there. Then 2:30, our Sunday School in Redburn, and then our gospel service next Sunday night at 6:30, God willing, I'll be here to preach, and Ethan and Anna will be here to sing. Can I take this opportunity to thank all those who provided all the items for the harvest display, those who brought in all the produce and flowers, etc. We want to thank you sincerely for your kindness in that, and also to those who decorated and came yesterday morning and decorated the church. Thank you very, very much. I think you will agree that the church is looking very, very well. So thank you to all who helped. I was going to say all the ladies, but I understand some men were there as well. I'm not so sure what they were doing, maybe just hoovering and tidying up, because I don't think they were involved in any of the displays, but maybe I am undermining your abilities and your talents. But thank you to all who helped in any way. And as in past years, all the produce, fresh produce, will go down to the Lauder Food Bank to help those who are less well off in our community. Can I also say that today our missionary boxes are due in, so please, if you can remember, bring your missionary box in to either Richard or William as soon as possible. They'll be emptied and they will be returned back to you. We're sending a total of £692 to support our brother Jason Boyle, who's a missionary in Mexico, following the meeting on Tuesday night. And thank you for your giving to that very worthy cause. This age, I just want to read on behalf of our mission board a statement that will be read in all of our churches today on behalf of our mission board. And it reads as this: with the permission of Presbytery, we provide this statement to clarify the situation with the Kenya Christian Academy. We are conscious that there is some uncertainty amongst our congregations about our relationship with the Kenyan school and its current status. The construction and operation of the Kenya school over the past 20 years was funded and supported by the mission board through the Bible Christian Faith Church, and greatly benefited from the work of both Margaret Russell and Noreen McAfee. Over the past few years, the school has faced some significant changes, which resulted in costs escalating and standards deteriorating in the secondary school. The mission board provided a financial analysis of the issues, and the Kenya Board of Management conducted their own review, with both showed that the secondary school was unsustainable. Now, despite these reviews, the Kenya Board of Management refused to take the necessary decisions to scale down and close the secondary school in order to safeguard the primary school. Over the past 3 years, the mission board has developed and presented three different plans to allow our funding to be reinstated with proper accountability, reporting, and representation. Unfortunately, the leadership of the Bible Christian Faith Church have rejected all three proposals, and in light of this, sadly, we are now formally bringing our association with the Kenya School to a close. This has been a very difficult period for the work, and we are saddened that our association has been terminated. But we remember fondly the work that was carried out at the school, both spiritually and academically. And we pay tribute to the faithfulness of all the workers, including our missionaries who labored in the school over many years to bring the gospel message to hundreds of young lives. And that statement is on behalf of our mission board, and it's signed by our mission board chairman, the Reverend Colin Mercer. In relation to Kenya and also in relation to Uganda, we are delighted to be able to report to you that on Presbytery on Friday night past, Mr. Glenn Hamilton and Mr. David McCauley were accepted as missionary candidates and their families. Our brother David and Rachel and their family will be making their plans to go to Uganda in the will of the Lord next year sometime, and we rejoice in the Lord's leading in their lives. And also our brother, Mr. Glenn Hamilton, and his wife, Emma, and family will be making their plans to go to Kenya to take up the work of God there. And we are thankful for how the Lord has provided these very able and very talented men and their families to go at the call of God, both to Uganda and to Kenya. And they'll be coming in the months to come to tell us more about their work. Tremendous encouragement, but also big challenges as financial restraints, of course, are there as well, but we are thankful to how the Lord has opened these doors for the servants, and pray the Lord will bless them. And also big challenges for their families as well. We understand that, and we know that. We want you to remember them in your prayers, of course. David and Rachel, very close to our hearts here in Sandown. Rachel having been brought up in our church, and we pray the Lord will just be with them all as they make their plans to go at the call of God. Just one other announcement. As we launched last week, we have our Christmas shoebox appeal running in connection with Serve Youth, and our brother Harry was here last week to tell us more about that. If you haven't started yet, if you could get your shoeboxes starting to get filled and get them into us as soon as possible, that would be much appreciated. We need them in by the 10th of November at the latest, please. As always, we make these announcements subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn. A good harvest hymn, 732, we plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. 732, and let's stand and sing this hymn with all of our hearts. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. Joseph and Sandra to come again and sing for us. May the Lord richly bless you both.
Harvest is with us once again. Blows in the breeze a golden grain. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Blessings from heaven still increase. Harvest is here for all to see. What if the harvest yet to be, when all the harvests here are o'er, where will your soul be evermore? Harvest is passing, so must we. Soon we must face eternity. Harvest is here for all to see. What if the harvest yet to be, when all the harvests here are o'er, where will your soul be evermore? Harvest is with us once again. Jesus is calling, yet in vain. Make sure of heaven while you may. Why do you falter, still delay? Harvest is here for all to see. What if the harvest yet to be?
Again, our thanks to Joseph and to Sandra. Thank you so much for being with us today. I know you're both very busy, and thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Thank you as well for your help on the piano, Joseph. Lord, continue to bless you both as you seek to serve the Lord. We're delighted to welcome to the pulpit here in Sandown this morning the Reverend Paul Foster, minister of our church in Dromore. Paul is also the president of our youth council, and we welcome him warmly this morning to our congregation and to our harvest services today. We went through college together, and we'll not talk about those days because he used to give me an awful hard time, but that's okay. I was able to take it, but that's just the way it goes. But we're delighted to have him. We were also in Kenya together earlier on in the summer, and we want to thank him for giving of his time to be with us today, and we pray the Lord will richly bless him as he comes, opens the Word of God, and brings God's Word to us just now. The Lord bless you.
Reverend Wilson mentioned that I gave him a hard time in college. Well, I remember growing a beard in college, a beard I still have. I remember him giving me a very hard time regarding growing a beard. But it's a privilege and a pleasure to be with you here today. And I want to thank the Reverend Wilson and, of course, the session for the invitation to be here. Out of a number of the ones that I went through college with, I'm still particularly friendly with, and I pray for them every week. And Reverend Wilson is one of those. He needs the prayers. That being said, I pray for myself seven times as much. I pray for myself every day because I need him seven times more. But certainly it's a pleasure to be with you. And I want to thank Josh and Sandra for the words and song. Little is much when God is in it. And it's my prayer that while I feel very little, in what I'm able to present to you today. Yet, may the Lord be in it, and the Lord greatly glorify his name. If you have a copy of the Living Word of God, I ask you to turn, please, to the book of Exodus and the chapter 23. Book of Exodus and the chapter 23. Beginning this book, the Lord has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. He's delivering them on to himself. Bring them out of Egypt. The Lord leads them, of course, through the Red Sea. And then he leads them to Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 20, the Lord, he gives the Ten Commandments, familiar to many here this morning. But then in the chapters that follow, the Lord then gives other commands to further expand, clarify, and explain the Ten Commandments, which are a summary of all the commandments in the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 23, we have a number of words the Lord has for his people. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 14, the Lord speaks about and to his people and about whenever they will enter in to Canaan. And in verse 14, the Lord says, "Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy meals shall appear before the Lord God." Amen. We'll end reading there at verse 17. Let's bow briefly, and could I encourage you in the stillness of your heart just to take this opportunity and say, "Lord, speak to me. Have a word in season for me." Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee humbly, acknowledging thee to be the true and the living God. We ask thee, Lord, on the merits of thy beloved and only begotten Son, pour out thy blessing. Sanctify us through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Save the lost this morning. None of us know how long we have. Save the lost. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And for us that are saved, purify us, strengthen us. And all that you've called us to be and to do, the glory of Christ, the satisfaction, the travail of his soul. We pray these things. Amen. Amen. One day a teacher asked her students to list the names of all the other students in the room on a sheet of paper and to leave a space between every name of the other students. She then told them to take time and to think of the nicest, truthful thing that they could write regarding every one of those other students in their class. The students, they took their time, they didn't rush it, and they thought what they could write. Then at the end of the class, the students, they handed in their piece of paper to the teacher. The teacher took time then, the next day, to compile all that was written regarding the different students. So she took one page for each student, and then she brought together all the comments that had been made regarding their classmates for that particular student, and done that for every student. Next school day, the teacher then handed the students the various pieces of paper. She noticed the surprise in some of their faces. "Oh, really? Never thought they thought of me like that." She didn't hear anything from it. She didn't hear any of the students talk to her about it afterwards, in the days, months, or even the years that followed. She sought to encourage them. A number of years later, one of the students entering into the military was in a battle and tragically was killed. Whenever it came to the funeral, the teacher and a number of the classmates, as you can appreciate, attended the funeral. And they were greatly saddened at the loss of the one whom they cared about and the one whom they loved. Whenever the funeral service ended, the parents of the young man that had died, the young man was named Mark, the parents came to the teacher during the cup of tea that was served afterwards and asked, "Are you Mark's maths teacher?" And she said, yes, I am. And they turned around and said, Mark talked a lot about you. And the parents brought out Mark's wallet. And inside the wallet was a piece of paper that had been folded and refolded and even had been torn, but had been brought together and taped together many different times. And they turned around and said to her, this was with Mark whenever he died in battle. This little piece of paper. And it was, of course, the paper that he had received many years earlier. As the teacher stood there, greatly humbled at how much this piece of paper meant to this young man, other classmates gathered together to want to speak to the teacher because they saw the piece of paper and they turned around and said to the teacher, I still have my piece of paper. One said, I keep it in my diary. Another said, I keep it in my purse. Another one said, I put it in my wedding album. So many of them kept their pieces of paper. The teacher was overwhelmed. She sat down and she cried. The word encouragement comes from two words originally. The word courage, which is the idea of strength in the face of trial, of opposition and of difficulty. And then the little word en, which in Greek means in. The word encouragement means to put strength into somebody. That whenever they come across trials or difficulties or opposition, that they will be strong in it. They'll not give up in it, but they'll be ones that persevere in the midst of it. And the reality is that you and I all need encouragement. Because you and I all face trials. We all face difficulties. Discouragement, the word dis means the opposite of something or the lack of something. And I wonder if there's somebody here this morning and you're discouraged. Instead of having strength in you, you lack strength. You feel empty. Perhaps you feel that you have no power to change a situation and so you are discouraged. Maybe you feel that in what God's called you to be or to do, you will never really feel, so you're discouraged. You don't feel you've got strength to carry on. Maybe you feel the opposition that is in front of you is just too strong for you. Maybe you feel the work that you do will not be accepted by others, but will be simply mocked. Maybe you feel the work that you're doing is of little benefit or purpose. Maybe you feel that you've placed your hope in somebody who's let you down. Maybe you aren't seeing any fruit for the work that you're doing. Maybe you're just physically and emotionally exhausted. Maybe you've been emotionally or indeed unjustly treated. Maybe you've been rejected, misunderstood. Maybe you just can't forget a previous failure. Maybe you're facing constant difficulties, constant hindrances. And as a result, you have no strength left in you. No strength to carry on in the midst of all that's ahead. Where does encouragement come from? Encouragement comes from truth. Not flattery, but truth. One man has wisely said, flatter me and I'll not believe you, but be honest with me. Tell me the truth and I will listen to you. And in Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 to 17, you and I are told that there would be three occasions whenever the Lord commanded every Jewish male to leave their home and to make the journey from wherever they were to travel to Jerusalem. The travel to the temple, the presence of God. Every one of these occasions would be occasions of rejoicing because in verse 14 we read three times, thou shalt keep a feast unto me in a year. Now there's three feasts mentioned for us in verses 15 and 16. There is the feast of unleavened bread mentioned in verse 15. That's the same time as the Passover. Then in verse 16, the beginning of it, we read about the feast of harvest, also known as the feast of weeks later on in scripture. That time whenever the first fruits had already been gathered in and the men were just about to go out to collect in the rest of the harvest. And then the rest of verse 16, we read about the feast of ingathering. That is whenever all the harvest had already been brought in. Now the crop was all there and there was no more work to do. That feast is known also as the Feast of Tabernacles. And I believe God appointed these three feasts, these three occasions in the year, whenever men were to set apart all that they had to do and were to go and to worship the Lord because these three feasts would be encouragements to them. Putting means of putting strength into them to help them. And the reason why I'm speaking on it today is, of course, the Lord's laid upon my heart, but also what's interesting is these three feasts were held at the three harvests
of the Jewish calendar. You see, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover was held at the time of the barley harvest, corresponding to our April time. The Feast of Weeks, the second feast, was held at the second harvest, the wheat harvest, which is held in the Jewish calendar according to our June time. And then the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Tabernacles, was held at the time of the fruit harvest, the third harvest in the Jewish calendar, corresponding to our October. Three feasts, all corresponding to three harvests in the land of Israel. But more than that, the three feasts also correspond to the three different stages of the harvest. For example, the Feast of Passover, the first feast, was held at the very beginning of barley harvest. That is, whenever the first fruit had just been seen by the farmer. The rest of the crop was not yet ready, but the first fruits had just been seen. That's when the first feast was to be held, at the commencement, or at the very beginning of the harvest. Then the second feast, the Feast of Weeks, was held 7 weeks later, whenever the first fruits had been seen, and it was now time to go in the field and collect all of the wheat, the second harvest. And then the third feast was held at the conclusion of the fruit harvest, whenever all the fruit had been gathered in. Three different feasts, three different times of the year, all corresponding to the three different harvests, and all referring to three different parts of the harvest. The beginning of the harvest, the commencement of it, the collecting of the harvest in, and then the conclusion of the harvest. And I believe the Lord appointed these three feasts on these three occasions because God wanted to encourage his people. He wanted to put strength into them. And so this morning I want to look at the three encouragements of the three harvests. And the first encouragement is this. The first feast, held at the commencement of the barley harvest, reminds us of the promises of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 23, if you want to turn with me there. Leviticus chapter 23. Reverend Wilson is very good with alliteration. Fortunately, I'm not, so you'll not be having much alliteration today. But Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 and following, we read these words. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, referring, of course, here to the barley harvest, then ye shall bring a sheaf of barley, of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day, when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So here is the first feast. Here it's being held at the commencement of the barley harvest, just whenever the first fruits have been seen by the Jewish farmer, held around about our April time. And seeing the first fruits, he was to gather them, bring them, present them to the priest, who would then present them before the Lord. And I believe it was for two reasons. One reason was that it would bring praise from the farmer. You think about all the things that could go wrong after seed has been sown. Birds could come and eat the seed. Heavy rain could come and wash away the seed. Or on the other extreme, there could be no rain to water the seed, enabling it to grow. There could be a plague that could infect the soil, ruining the crop altogether. Animals could come. Whenever the seed begins to shoot out from the ground, they could eat the shoot. Or indeed, once as the shoot begins to grow, the sun could blaze so hot that it burns the shoot, therefore killing the crop. So many things could happen, literally hundreds of things. And so whenever the Israeli Jewish farmer saw the first fruits of his barley harvest, he stopped what he was doing. He gathered the first fruits, he brought them before the Lord, and he praised the Lord. He thanked the Lord, because the Lord has preserved, the Lord has protected the seed that was sown. He's protected the crop. And so whenever you and I come to harvest, we should, of course, praise the Lord. You think of all the many things that could come into a situation that would stop us having the food that we have. Our food comes from many different countries, whether it be New Zealand or South Africa or the West Indies or America or Spain, whatever it may be. We get food from so many different countries. And there could be plagues. There could be hurricanes. There could be infections. There could be a lack of rain, there could be too much rain, there could be a lack of sunshine, there could be too much sunshine. So many things could stop us from having the physical things that we enjoy. And we ought to praise the Lord and thank the Lord every day. I wonder, do you give thanks for the food that you have before you eat it? The bringing the first fruits was for praise. But I believe it primarily it was for something else. The bringing of the first fruits, the farmer ceasing from what he was doing, gathering the first fruits, the sheaf of barley, bringing it before the Lord, was to remind him of the promise of God. That if the Lord had preserved the first fruits of the crop, out of all the field, if the Lord had preserved the first fruits, well, surely the Lord was going to preserve the rest of the field. If the Lord had preserved one sheaf of barley, surely the Lord was going to preserve the rest of the sheaves of barley in the field. You see, the first fruits reminded the Jewish farmer of the promise of the Lord. You turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll see the application of this to you and I today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. After summarizing the gospel in the opening verses of this chapter, the Apostle Paul begins to speak about the resurrection of Christ. And in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." That means it's empty, it's worthless. Ye are yet in your sins. However, verse 20, Paul clarifies things and he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." In verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." So the feast of the firstfruits was a picture of the gospel. That the Lord had preserved the first sheaf of barley, the Lord was going to bring together the rest of the sheaves of barley. And the gospel of Christ has raised Christ from the dead and accepted Christ and the merits of the blood that he shed and the work that he did. Well, God will also accept us on the work of Christ, the blood that Christ shed and the work that Christ did. If God has accepted Christ, then God will accept all those that come to Christ. You may not have thought about this before, but whenever the Lord looks down upon this world, this very moment, God does not see 8 billion people. In essence, God only sees 2 people. God sees Adam, that is the first Adam, or God sees Christ. Because the Bible speaks in terms of representatives. You and I have representatives in every sphere of life. For example, whenever parents, they act on behalf of their children. Whenever they decide at the supermarket, they're not going to buy every sweet in the shop. They act on behalf of their children. School teachers will speak on behalf of their students whenever they tell the maintenance man that they do not need this classroom made any hotter. Whether the students like that or not, this teacher is acting on behalf, speaking on behalf of the students. Local councillors and politics will speak on behalf of their constituents when they vote for or against a certain law. Employers will act on behalf of their employees whenever the employers decide what products they are going to make or sell. A representative speaks on behalf of another or acts on behalf of another, whether they be a bad representative or a good representative. Whenever the Lord looks upon this world, he sees 2 representatives. He sees Adam or he sees Christ. You and I are either in Adam or you and I are in Christ. Naturally, whenever we're born in Adam. We have descended from Adam, the very first parent. But how did Adam do as our representative? Well, Adam sinned against God. He distrusted God. He rebelled against God, his command. And as a result, Adam's sin, distrust, and rebellion meant that he was cast out of the Garden of Eden. So whenever you and I are born, we're not born in the Garden of Eden because Adam was cast out of it. Adam began to die physically, and that's why you and I die physically. Adam corrupting his nature, whenever he sinned, you and I are born with a corrupt nature. Adam being cast out from the presence of God, you and I are born outside of fellowship with God, separate from God. Adam was our representative, and as a result, this is what you and I have today. Adam was a bad representative. But just as you and I may not like it whenever parents, teachers, employers, or politicians make bad choices for us, that's just the way it is. The reality is, we wouldn't have done anything different to Adam anyway in the Garden of Eden, because he was even better than what we were. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. He's that representative. We're all born that way. But the good news is today that there's another representative that God has given, and that's his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where Adam failed, Christ succeeded. Adam didn't love God with all his heart, Christ did. Adam didn't trust God with all that he had, Christ did. Christ was perfect. And not merely did he live a perfect life so that we could be made perfect in God's sight, but he went to the cross and shed his blood to pay the debt for our sins so that all our sins could be washed away. And what Christ has done is that he has enabled it so that you and I can put our faith in him. And putting our faith in him, we're united to him, associated with him, covered by him, represented by him, and brought into fellowship with God, no longer separated. Loved by God, not hated by God. Children of God, no longer enemies of God. On our way to glory with God, no longer on our way to hell. God has given a second representative. And the application of all of this to harvest is this. If you and I place our faith in Christ, and we're united to Christ, we turn from our sins, seeing that Christ has loved us, lived for us, died for us, rose again for us, and we put our trust in him to be our Savior. We call upon him to forgive us and to change us. And we repent from our sin and turn to him. We're united to Christ. We're covered by Christ. We're represented by Christ. We're loved because of Christ. And whatever God has done to Christ, God the Father will do to us. If God the Father raised Christ up from the dead, accepted him, brought him into his presence there in glory, so Christ will do that with everyone that's saved, united to Christ. You will be with the Lord forever. You see, on the 14th day of the Jewish month, there was the Passover. This very first feast was the time of the Passover, of unleavened bread, whenever a lamb would be slain for the sins of God's people. And then 3 days later, according to the counting of the Jewish calendar, the priest then would fulfill this first feast. He would wave the barley sheaf before the Lord, and he'd wave it to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west, to all around. And the lesson is that Christ is the one who is that lamb on exactly the same day, the 14th day of the Jewish month Nisan. Christ, that lamb, he paid the debt for our sins. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And he is that first fruits, that sheaf, waved before the Lord, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. And you see, the encouragement is here that if you're a sinner and you're conscious of your sin, you can have life today. You can be born again today. You can be made a new creature today. You can be given new desires today. You can be forgiven by God today. Because Christ is the lamb that was slain, and he was the one who rose again. It's the encouragement. No matter how great our sins, no matter how many our sins, we can be forgiven. If you're conscious of the temper that you've lost, the lust that you've thought, the hatred you've shown, the theft you've committed, the lies you've told, the encouragement is you can be forgiven today. Because of the first fruits, because of Christ. If Christ is accepted by God, you put your faith in Christ, you too will be accepted by God. All in the merits of what Christ did. This is the encouragement today. There's an encouragement here for sinners. There's an encouragement here also for laborers. I wonder if you are saved and you're tempted to think that serving God is a waste of time, whether it be in the children's work, the youth work, the Sunday school, the Bible class, maybe it's with your friends, your family, you seek to be witness to them, maybe it's your neighbors, maybe your prayers. You think it's all in labor. It's all in vain. There are many things that discourage us. We can be discouraged like Elijah was in Mount Carmel when we saw the darkness of the times. We can be discouraged when, like Joshua, who was called to root 31 kings in Canaan, and we look at the task before us, it's just too large. We can be discouraged when, like Ezekiel, who saw before him a valley of dry bones, we can see the apathy and coldness among God's people. We can be discouraged when, like Stephen, who was stoned, we see the people reject the word of God. We can be discouraged at these things. But But we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you see, Christ rising from the dead, he's now praying on the merits of the work that he did, and he is saving souls. And Christ will save every single soul for which he has died. If you look with me again at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, we read, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In John chapter 12, verse 31, Christ said, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And while that's often applied to people who exalt Christ in preaching, yet the context is that whenever Christ, he died on the cross, he was raised up between God and men. That Christ paying the debt for our sins and the merits of that, he being the first fruits, he would draw every one of his people to himself. He would save sinners. No one would be lost. All would be drawn to him. So let this encourage you if you're a laborer in the work of God this morning. God has you where you are for a reason. And as you serve the Lord, God will bless his word. And every single one for whom Christ died will be saved. Christ will save sinners. There's an encouragement here for sinners. There's an encouragement here for laborers. There's an encouragement here for worriers. Maybe you're anxious about the road ahead. Maybe you see the obstacles that can come. Maybe you see how great the wickedness of the world is, how strong temptations are, how persecution potentially can be so great. Maybe you think, there's no way I'll ever be able to hold on to Christ. Well, let me encourage you. If God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, accepting him and the work that he did, God will do the same to all those who are united to Christ. Just as that first sheaf of barley was preserved, protected by God, that it would come to fruition. And just as God then would preserve all the rest of the field, as God has preserved Christ, so God will preserve all those that are in Christ. As God protected Christ and all that he did, and then brought him to resurrection, so Christ will protect us and bring us to resurrection too. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23, we read, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. If you're a worrier this morning, will I be able to make it? Will I be able to keep holding on to God? Be encouraged. God is the one who has accepted Christ and his merits. God has accepted you as you've come to Christ. And as God the Father enabled Christ to do all that Christ came to do, so God will help you to do all he's called you to do. He'll preserve you. And he'll raise you up at the last day. What happens to the first fruits will happen to the rest. What has happened to Christ will happen to us who are in him. Let this encourage you today. Adam was a bad representative. If you and I are born, we're born in Adam. But God has given another representative, a final representative, a last Adam. And if we put our faith in him, we call upon him to save us, we turn from our sin to him, we're united to Christ for eternity. All that come to him, he'll no wise cast out. He'll never reject. He'll never stop being a representative. God will love you with an everlasting love because of Christ. The first feast was held at the commencement of the barley harvest, which reminds us of the promises of God. If God has preserved the first fruits, God will preserve all the rest. But let me just briefly mention the second encouragement this morning. And that's regarding the second feast, the wheat harvest. The second feast being held at the wheat harvest was held after the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and it was held whenever the laborers were now about to go into the field to collect the wheat. And that reminds us of the work of the Lord. First, the promise of the Lord, but now the work of the Lord. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, we read in verse 14, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year, after reading about the feast of Passover and leavened bread, in verse 15, verse 16, we read, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors. Not the first fruit of the barley or the wheat, but now the first fruits of your labours. The first fruits have come, and now the labours are going in to commence their work in collecting the harvest. The second feast was held exactly 7 weeks after the first feast. Exactly 7 weeks. And the relevance of it to you and I is seen in the New Testament, because just whenever Christ died on the cross, he rose again from the dead, what happened 7 weeks later? Christ told his disciples not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait in Jerusalem, that to be endued with power from on high. But for what purpose? Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if you want to turn with me there, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples after being raised from the dead, and he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And then in Acts chapter 2, we find what? The Holy Spirit coming upon his people, his disciples, his apostles, empowering them, filling them, taking up and using them, because as the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders from all different parts had gathered together for the feast of Pentecost, 7 weeks after the Passover. Many thousands of Jews in Jerusalem, there at the beginning of the collecting of the wheat harvest, the servants of God are filled with the Holy Spirit, that they may now preach Christ and that souls will be won for Christ. Christ has purchased his people on the cross, and now it's come for the collecting, the gathering in of the people of God, the saving of the lost. And you see, this second feast reminds us about the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is simple. Sometimes people ask, what is God's will for me? God's will for us is simple. It's to be a laborer in the harvest field. It's to seek the lost coming to know Christ. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Christ said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Speaking about the harvest time. Christ has purchased souls on the cross. The harvest is plenteous. It's right before you. Look up and see. I'm calling you to go out into a field that's ready for reaping, for collecting. That's why Christ said to his apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," because the fields are ripe and ready. What does the Lord want you and I to do? What's his will for our lives? It's simple. I don't mean it's easy, but it's simple. It's straightforward. He wants to see that Christ has purchased an abundance of souls from every tribe, tongue, and nation. He wants to see that his will for us is simply to go out and to preach him to this world, to reveal him to this world, by our life, our likeness to him, and by our lips, our speaking of him. Because Christ will bless the gospel, his power unto salvation, and souls will be saved. So no matter whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a secretary, whether you're a stay-at-the-home mother and wife, whether you're a politician, whether you're whatever it may be, God's will for you is this: in all of your daily life, seek to be a witness for Christ. That's the reason why you and I are still alive today. I find this tremendously encouraging. The reason I am still alive today, the reason I woke up still with breath in my lungs and the Lord didn't take me straight to glory, was because God still has a work for me to do today. Once my work on this earth is finished, once there's nothing more for me to do before God that he has for me, then God will take me to glory. There's nothing else keeping me here. What's the one thing that you can't do in glory that you can do now? Be a witness for the Lord. Let this encourage you. The work of the Lord is simple. The work of the Lord is possible. You may think, well, how can I be a witness for the Lord? You know, I've got no great position. I've got no great education. I've got no great talents. I've got no great possessions. What can I do? Well, remember, whenever the apostles were going to go and commence the ingathering, which is seen in the rest of the book of Acts, indeed the rest of church history, this ingathering, this collecting of all the Christ's purchased, how would they do it? Endued with power by the Spirit of God. Who will receive the Spirit of God? The super elite? No. Luke 11, 13. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The work of the Lord is simple, it's straightforward. He wants to be a witness wherever we are. That's our primary reason for existing today. And the work of the Lord is possible. We can be a witness because of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Lord is universal. Sometimes you may think, oh, there's nothing happening. The tide is out, as it were. Let me tell you, listen to the words of Christ in John 4:35. He says, behold, take note of this, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The second feast, God did not call his people to go into a field that was not ready for harvesting. There was a harvest there. Don't get discouraged. Don't lack strength. There's no work for me to do. The work that I do is not profitable. It's not purposeful. It's not beneficial. It's not doing anything. Because the tide's out, let me tell you, the fields are white. God has you where he has you. He's placed you where he's placed you. To be a light in this world for him. And whether you see it or not, God is blessing your labor. As you do it in his strength for his glory according to his word, he is blessing your labor. If your work was done on this earth, if there's nothing left for you to do, you would be taking the glory of your child of God. So be encouraged. The first feast reminds of the promises of God. All those who are sinners can be brought into Christ and have him as a representative and be saved and then resurrected to be with him in glory forever. Preserved, protected by him, and eternally with him. The second feast speaks about the collecting in of the harvest, the work of the Lord. But let me just conclude. The third feast speaks about the return of the Lord. You see, in Leviticus, the book of Exodus, chapter 23 and verse 16, having read about the time of Passover, the first feast and that of the leavened bread, the second feast being the feast of the harvest, the feast of weeks, then we read at the end of verse 16, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the harvest field. You see, the third and final harvest, which was held around about our time here in October, was whenever the work of the harvest had been completed. The bringing in of all the sheaves had been completed. The reaping was over, the work was over, the struggle was over, the turmoil was over, the sweating was over, the work was done. And there was now rest for the people of God. There was rejoicing as they looked at all that God had given them. And for those that were laborers for an employer, there was a reward. They got their pay. And you see, the Lord wanted this third feast to be held at this time, this stage of the harvest. And he wanted it to be done at the Feast of the Tabernacles. This third feast had to be associated with that because, you see, it was at the Feast of the Tabernacles that the children of Israel remember that while they were in the wilderness for many years, God brought them to the Promised Land. And these two truths were to be welded together. The return of the Lord and the end of time. You see, that ought to encourage each one that's saved this morning because, you see, the return of the Lord brings rest. As I was driving down the road coming here today, I couldn't help but think, imagine someone who was out in the field and they were called to labor. And they were called to go out day after day and laboring in the field. I remember pulling carrots and doing potatoes for years. And it is hard work and you do sweat. But imagine if you had in your mindset that that's what you were going to do day after day for eternity. No rest, no end, no climax, no culmination, no standing back to see the work that you'd done, no receiving of reward for it. Imagine that was it, just day after day, laboring, struggling, toiling, sweating, day after day, never seeing an end of all that you've done. You'd just give up. What's the point in carrying on? You would get disillusioned. Ah, but the Lord wanted his people every year to remember the return of the Lord. One day the harvest will end. One day all of God's people will be gathered in. One day the toiling, the struggling. One day it'll all end. One day it'll be rest for the people of God. And not merely would there be a rest from the struggling and the toiling and the reaping, but there would be rejoicing. the return of the Lord brings rejoicing as you stand back and see all that God has done through you. We are nothing, but God has promised to work through us, and you will stand back and see all that God has done. But you'll also stand back and see all that God has given you. You stand back at harvest and you see, God's given me so much, even though I deserve nothing. And what will we ultimately see whenever Christ returns? We'll see Christ. Revelation chapter 21, we shall see his face. We will see what God has given us. We will see Christ. We will see those eyes that looked upon us in our need. We'll see those ears that listened on us whenever we cried to him. We'll see those hands that were pierced and shed blood for us. We'll see that back that was tortured and beaten for us. We'll see the arms that drew us to himself and upheld us. We'll see those feet that ever walked with us. We'll see his heart that ever abounded in love toward us. We'll see Christ. And we'll be filled with a love for him. We'll be resting from sin, from temptation, from the distractions of the world, from the deceptions of the devil, and we'll see Christ. And all the work that was done for him, and done in him, and done for him. And we will rejoice. I have Christ. And I'll be with him for eternity. No more struggling, no more toiling, no more pain. I'll be with Christ. And then the return of the Lord, it brings rest, it brings rejoicing, and it brings reward. Matthew 25, we read about laborers who went into the harvest field, and at the end they got their wages. And why, we again, we deserve nothing, yet Christ has promised to reserve us 100-fold for all we've ever done for him. Even giving the cup of water in Mark 9:41, just a cup of water, Christ promises he'll reward it. What a wonderful thing to stand back and see and receive the reward that God gives you. Even you deserve nothing. For even every cup of water, every little thing, every bit of encouragement you ever gave to somebody, you'll receive an eternal reward for it. Oh, people, be encouraged this morning. In the midst of the darkness and the difficulties and the trials, let strength be put into you through truth. The promises of the Lord. God has given a second representative to save sinners. And all that come to him, he will save them, he'll forgive them, he'll change them, he'll uphold them, he'll protect them, and he'll raise them up with Christ the last day. The promises of the Lord. But remember also the second harvest, the work of the Lord. Until that time, God's called you, he's given you the privilege to go and do a work for him that will last for eternity. It's simple, it's straightforward. It's possible by the Spirit of God. Do it for him. Knowing it's not in vain in the Lord. And then the return of the Lord, one day you'll see and you'll stand back and see all that God has done through you. You'll see all that God has given you. And above all, you'll see Christ. And you'll be at rest with him for eternity. Be encouraged. The promises of the Lord, the work of the Lord, and the return of the Lord. The Lord bless his word to every heart today. Amen.
I want to thank the Reverend Foster this morning for coming, bringing the word of God to us and those encouragements. May we ever take encouragement from God's word, that while we wait and while we work, that we know one day our labor is not in vain in the Lord, because he is coming again to bring his workers home. May the Lord be pleased to bless that word to our hearts. Let's close tonight, this morning, by singing the words of 735. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? In the morning bright and fair, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? In the heat of the noonday's glare. 735, and we'll stand as we sing this final hymn, please. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
to be laborers and workers. Help us, Lord, to work, Lord, for we realize that one day the night will come when no man can work. Help us, Lord, to be busy. Help us, Lord, to tell others about Jesus Christ, the mighty to save, the one who came, Lord, the one who can save and one who does save. Our Father, we pray you'll bless thy word to our hearts. Help us, Lord God, we pray to meditate upon it even throughout the hours of this afternoon and to consider what the Lord would still have to say to us. Bless thy servant, we pray, encourage him. Bless him in his own work and ministry, we ask. And, O God, we pray you'll bless us throughout this day. Remember over in Redburn this afternoon, bless the Sunday school there. Bless us again tonight in the gospel. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we'll come up again expecting, looking, wondering what the Lord is going to do. Be with us now. Part us in the fear and the blessing of Almighty God. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.